Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
At Frontier, we know you've had enough of cable internet. If you're tired of steep price hikes, upload speeds slower than download speeds, and worrying about Wi-Fi, then uncable yourself and switch to Frontier Fiber. With unrandom pricing, equal uploads and downloads, and our whole home Wi-Fi guarantee. Introducing internet that works the way it should. Frontier Gig Fiber. Just $69.99 a month with autopay and our 3-year price guarantee. Plus, you can get a $200 Visa reward card on us. See frontier.com/fast1 for complete offer, terms, eligibility, and performance details. Subject to availability.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is our Signal Storm podcast.
Hoping you're taking my suggestions and heading on over to TexasScorecard.com every once in a while to make sure you are up to speed with what's going on in the great state of Texas, even if you're outside of Texas. These stories can be helpful. A, the Texas Scorecard is combating left-wing extremism by calling it out. I mean, not just because it's left-wing, but because, hey, it's doing some harm. So in other states, left-wingers get to do harm and nobody calls them out in the press. Here in Texas, folks who are at Texas Scorecard say, well, wait a minute, that seems to be having a bad effect on the people. Maybe you ought to answer for that. So they do some reporting, a lot of reporting that the mainstream basket of biased press will not do. And you're going to find stories that impact your life, and not just your life, in Texas. For those of you outside of Texas, this is the kind of journalism that is supposed to be done. You're supposed to hold people in positions of power and authority accountable. And by the way, Texas Scorecard just doesn't target Democrats. They also go after individuals who are in the Republican Party who are also doing harm, which, if we're being really honest, is what journalism is supposed to be. They're not supposed to have a preferred party. There are folks inside of Texas, like the Texas Tribune. They are completely in the tank for Democrats, completely left-wing. The Democrat Morning News, completely in the tank for Democrats. The Houston Comical, they are 100% politically biased. These folks are not dedicated journalists. They're dedicated Democrats. And that's, you can see that reflected in their reporting. The Texas Scorecard does something different, and it is a template for something that ought to be going on in your state. And if things are being called out in the state of Texas that the left wing is doing, chances are it's happening in your state. So maybe you ought to, you know, get involved and try to stop those things. So that for those of you in Texas, the Texas Scorecard is an indispensable asset, as is the Salcedo Storm podcast. So coming up, we're going to visit with the head honcho over there at the Texas Scorecard. We're going to get a rundown of some of the big stories that have been impacting Texas and beyond. It's all coming up on the Salcedo Storm podcast. Stick with me.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Does the state of the economy have your head spinning? Let American Medical Plans relieve one burden, health insurance. American Medical Plans specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays and no deductibles. You choose your doctors, you choose your hospitals. These plans have nothing to do with your income and are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plans. You deserve better. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
The establishment media is out of touch with the real things real Texans care about. Real news for real Texans. That's what Texas Scorecard does every day. Learn more and subscribe for free. TexasScorecard.com/Chris.
All right, folks, let's get to our guest, Brandon Waltons. He is the managing editor at the Texas Scorecard. He is the grand poobah, the man who says, you jump and they say, how high? I know. Every time I introduce you, man, I'm just going to come up with something creative. You know, he's Brandon. Brandon Walton's shaken, not stirred.
I think it gets more and more ornate every time.
Exactly. Glad to have you on board, man. We got a lot to talk about. So first off, Texas Scorecard has been doing a lot of great reporting on various issues that impact the state of Texas. And I don't know if you've been hearing how we've been ending the podcast lately, but I've been saying if it impacts Texas, chances are it's going to impact America. Because if Texas falls, you know that America can't be far behind in a fall. So that's why I think that the issues that are confronting us, if it's happening here, it's happening around the rest of the country too, to even a greater degree. So let's talk about Texas GOP intensifies efforts to ban Democrat committee chairmanships. And I think this is pretty unique to Texas or those who have part-time legislatures, and how this so-called tradition of being the majority party but allowing the minority party to have cancellation power over your policies, which they say is tradition. I've got a few things to say about that, but tell me the genesis behind the story.
Yeah, so this is one of the things when people first start maybe paying attention to the Texas legislature, they start getting interested in state politics. Republicans are always floored when they find out that, you know, despite the fact that Republicans control every level of government in Texas, including the state legislature, you know, we actually put liberal Democrats in these leadership positions. And I'm not talking about little small tokens. I'm talking literally, for example, the chair of public education in the Texas House is a Democrat. You've had Democrats that have blocked pro-life legislation, blocked pro-Second Amendment legislation, et cetera. And the fact of the matter is there's no constitutional requirement that Democrats be put in these positions. There's nothing like that. Instead, it's just sort of this tradition that Republicans have continued to support.
And it's been a tradition since 1970, which, sorry, that's not a tradition. I mean, that's just not. I mean, this happened when a Democrat, for those of you who don't know, Democrats used to control Texas, and they gave one chairmanship to one Republican, and that's what started. I can't remember the name of the Democrat speaker who did this. Jeff Kasin, a man who is about not to be a representative anymore in the Texas legislature. He's on his way out because he got redistricted out. He has a podcast too, Brandon, and he talks extensively on this and how this is the biggest, sorry, BS tradition that there is. And what it allows, and you tell me if your reporting is any different, what it allows is, shall we say, not so conservative Republicans to allow Democrats to kill conservative agenda items and not have the Republicans' fingerprints on it.
Mm-hmm. No, that's exactly right. I mean, so much of what's done in a lot of levels of government, but to include the state legislature, is trying to avoid having any evidence of having killed the priorities that, you know, the people who elected them actually sent them there to do. And so by putting Democrats in charge, it does allow them to say, oh, you know, I wish that this bill would have passed. I wish this school choice bill would have passed, whatever. But unfortunately, those pesky Democrats, you know, killed it. The fact of the matter is, when you're in charge, when you have the majority of seats in the legislature, there's no excuse for the minority party to be empowered to do that.
Amen to that. 80% of GOP voters, and we got to remind everybody that the Republican Party is allegedly the majority party in the state of Texas. 80% of their voters, over 80%, said stop the practice of appointing Democrats into positions of authority that they did not earn at the ballot box. So when you tell Republicans, or when you ask Republicans about this, Brandon, when saying, hey, your own constituents say it is wrong of you to give power to Democrats that they don't earn at the ballot box, what do those Republicans tell you?
Well, you can go and look back literally I guess it was nearly 2 years ago. There was a vote on exactly this rule, and you only had a handful. By handful, I mean like four or five Republicans actually vote against this, vote against a proposal to make it so that Democrats couldn't be put in these positions. And the argument that was given then and is given now by a lot of establishment Republicans is something along the lines of either A, this is a tradition, and, you know, what will we do if Democrats are in charge? We would want them to give us seats. But then you'll also hear this one. This is probably the most prevalent, is that, well, we don't want Austin to work like Washington, D.C. Now, look, I'm not a fan of the way Congress works. But, you know, maybe this is an issue they got right. I mean, I don't think anybody would expect, you know, Nancy Pelosi right now to give, say, I don't know, Chip Roy or Louie Gohmert or someone a committee chairmanship. You wouldn't expect that to happen. And yet that's essentially the same thing we're doing here in Texas. And so those are usually the excuses that are heard. And there's, I'll tell you this, going into this session, which starts in January, you've got more attention being placed on this issue than ever before. It's literally a legislative priority now for the Republican Party of Texas. Like you said, you had 80% of Republican voters saying they wanted to end this practice. And then the most recent development is that the state Republican Executive Committee, who's sort of the governing body for the party, voted unanimously again to urge lawmakers in the Texas House and the Texas Senate to stop this practice now.
Yeah. And it, and you know, think about it. Practically what you're saying is elect Republicans so we can put Democrats in charge of key committees and defeat your conservative priorities. And here's one example. School choice. Parental school choice is huge. The conservative movement, and dare I say Democrats, a majority of Democrats and independents want parental school choice. But there seem to be Republicans who say, oh, we hear the majority of the people of Texas want school choice, but we're going to get elected. Elect us so we can put a Democrat in there and kill it. That's precisely the argument. And I'm wondering who the hell votes for that. Nobody would.
Nobody would. And this is just one of many issues. And we focus on a lot of them at Texas Scorecard, of course, but just one of many issues where you've just got one of the clearest divisions between the lawmakers and the citizens that put them in there.
There's another story you're working on. Now, there's a guy by the name of Fetterman running in Pennsylvania. And Mr. Fetterman is a man child, you know, a grown man who has been taken care of by mommy and daddy. And he has a chance of becoming the next senator from Pennsylvania. And he's kind of a loose wheel, kind of a loopy kind of guy. And he was asked recently, hey, do you think that LGBTQ education should be mandatory in GovEd? And which he said, yes. And that's Pennsylvania. Now, a North Texas school district is promoting LGBT group offerings, queer sex ed lessons in this school district. Where is this going on?
Yeah, queer sex ed. That's actually their own words. This is Louisville ISD. So up there in the Metroplex, up there in DFW, is promoting, you know, these organizations that literally you can go to their page, and not only do they have, you know, things like queer sex ed, but this is the part that is the most troubling is, you know, their website where they go into all this kind of trans theory, LGBTQ, AI plus whatever curriculum, you know, it literally has a button on the website that you can click and it'll take you to a blank Google page for the purpose of hiding it from your parents. I think this is the most infuriating part of this whole saga.
So let me get this straight. Louisville ISD is working to put wedges between parents and their children by pretending that children have the mental capacity and the education and the experience to make these life-changing decisions for themselves without their parents' permission. But the parents will be taxed up the yin yang to fund it all in Louisville. Is that pretty much what I'm hearing?
Exactly. And look, this is Louisville. This is, you know, one district. Texas has 1,200 some odd school districts. I can guarantee you this is happening in other districts as well.
Well, true. And then, of course, bad ideas in GovEd are like a cancer. They spread when they take root in one school district. Hey, I can get away with it in Louisville. I wonder what we can do in Fort Worth. Wonder what we can do in Dallas. Wonder what we can do in Austin ISD. Folks, we're having a conversation with the grand poobah of the Texas Scorecard, Brandon Waltons. Brandon serves as managing editor there for the Texas Scorecard. Next story is coming out of Harris County, and I put this on the Chris Salcedo show on KSEV just the other day. Polling has a woman by the name of Alexandra Miller, Moral Miller. She's a Latina. She is a former member of the military. I think she was in the bomb squad. I mean, real tough lady, real smart lady. Polling in liberal left-wing Harris County has Alex Miller up by 4 points.
Yes, and you've had Alexandra Miller on your show, I know. And her number one campaign, I'd say, talking point, what's been the centerpiece of her campaign, has been talking about public safety. And this is an issue that is really, really resonating, especially in Harris County, where, they've, under Lena Hidalgo, who's the liberal Democrat county judge that's been there now for a few years, has implemented this so-called bail reform that has let violent criminals out on the street. You know, crime has risen by double or triple, depending on the metrics you've been looking at. And this is an issue that the majority of voters, Republicans and Democrats, by the way, in the county, are saying they're absolutely concerned about. And so, yeah, this latest polling you've got literally has Miller up 4 points, 48, I believe, to Hidalgo's 44%. And this isn't some, rose-colored glasses poll. I mean, literally, the same poll shows that in Harris County, Beto O'Rourke is leading Greg Abbott by 2 points, which is about what you would expect in Harris County. But it's an interesting thought to think that there are 2% of people, ostensibly, who are going to vote for O'Rourke, but are going to go vote for Alex Miller because they're so sick and tired of this crime problem in Texas's most populous county.
And you are right. We have had Alex Miller on the Salcedo Storm podcast here detailing what she's all about, and she's quite impressive. She's very level-headed, has that military leadership background, and she's everything that Lena Hidalgo is not. She's a leader. She's charismatic. She's all business, and she believes in serving the people, whereas Loony Lena is all about, political patronage and hiring people that steal 10,000 votes from Democrats and Republicans. You know, the people who are really going to be sad if, what's her name, Loony Lena, loses this race will be Rodney Ellis and Adrian Garcia, the other county commissioners, who use Loony Lena, Brandon, as kind of they're the ones running the show. She's dumber than a sack of rocks. I've got to be honest with you. Loony Lena is just, she's all about political patronage. She just does what the National Party tells her to do and prioritizes what the National Party tells her to. Very much a Soros devotee. The cats who are really going to lament seeing her gone is the don of that commissioner's court, who is Rodney Ellis, who is pulling all the strings from behind the scenes. He's the organized crime boss, to be honest. And they are really going to be struggling if all of a sudden you see Republicans in charge in the majority on that commissioner's court. It is going to be quite something to see. Yes.
Yeah. And I think that, as far as looking at races to watch this, in November, when we've got the elections going on, I'd say what happens in Harris County is going to be one of the most interesting things statewide to be keeping an eye on.
This one, I've got to say, really shook me, because when I read it, my jaw dropped. The Texas governor is committing to eliminating school property taxes. Now, on this podcast and on the Salcedo show, Governor Abbott has committed to making sure that school choice gets an up or down vote, and it's going to be a main priority of his. We have had members, even Dade Phelan, the Speaker of the House, says that the people will get to vote, or the people's representatives will get to vote on this. Do you think that the Texas governor is making this proclamation because he sees the writing on the wall and does not want, it wants to get ahead and make sure to assure parents and voters that he's with them?
Yeah, I think that this statement, which, by the way, was made during that recent debate between Abbott and O'Rourke, and if people missed it, well, you didn't really miss much. But this was probably one of the more interesting statements to come out of it, where he said that, you know, look, Texas is facing a $27 billion surplus, could actually be higher once they end up meeting. And that, you know, we need to be using at least half of that money to make sure that not only do we get a little bit of property tax relief in Texas, but we actually work towards a plan of ending at least the school property tax portion forever, which there are plans to do out there. You've got Texans for Fiscal Responsibility, Texas Public Policy Foundation as well, with sort of the specifics on those. And so this was the first time, at least that I've seen, that the governor has specifically articulated that he supports that plan to eliminate, not just, you know, buy down, but to eventually eliminate school property taxes forever. And, you know, this has been the work, as you know, of years and years of work from conservative activists who have been pushing the state to work in this direction. And so it's a really, really encouraging sign to see the governor saying that on the debate stage.
Yeah. I mean, and can you imagine, by the way, Texas remains among the uncivilized states who deny parents school choice. There are 22, and this shocked me, that usually Texas leads on things like this. There are 22 other states out there, Brandon, that allow parents to have the power of the purse and to basically be the determinant of what is taught in their schools. And I was shocked to find out that Texas was among the knuckle draggers, like California and New York and Illinois. Do you think that finally this has reached fever pitch, in particular and in the wake of the China virus, that now these elected officials, and by the way, they call themselves Republicans in these small districts where the schools are their number one employer and the schools are their number one entertainment center. It is these Republicans who have been the ones who have been stabbing parents in the back. Do you think they just, because it's gone so woke and full bat guano crazy that inside of GovEd, that they know they can't keep their jobs and stand in the way of progress any longer?
You know, I mean, the big question is going to be exactly like you described, those rural Republicans who have historically been big opponents to school choice efforts in Texas in the past. You know, it remains to be seen what they're going to do, but I'll say this. Having you know, watched the issue now for a while, I don't think I've seen as much momentum behind it as we do right now. When you see states like Arizona that just passed their major school choice plan signed into law, that's in effect now. Mm-hmm. When you have the governor out there front and center talking about this issue repeatedly, saying it's going to get a vote on, this is going to be an issue that he pushes. You know, this is going to be a tough time, I think, especially as, you know, it's the sort of thing where when we see other states doing these actions, I think there's a certain level where citizens look and they say, well, hey, well, why aren't we able to do that in Texas? And then that's ultimately, I think, the pressure that's going to be put on some of these lawmakers, especially as we see even more states start to pass similar proposals.
As we started off the podcast with Brandon Walton's here, ladies and gentlemen, we made allusion to the fact that if it's happening in Texas, it will have national impact. And you heard the managing editor for the Texas Scorecard nodding in agreement. I knew you could hear it because it was a big nod, because 9 times out of 10, Brandon, correct me if I'm wrong, you're agreeing with me. No, you can't say you're
always.
I was going to say you're a journalist. You can't do that. That's okay. That's okay. This is where national politics impacts Texas or vice versa. The failed border czar, the cackling Kamala Harris, paid a visit to Texas and doing a fundraiser among Texas socialists. Now, this comes after the failed border czar tried to suggest that aid relief for hurricanes ought to be based on a person's skin color. So naturally, she wants to come to Texas because I imagine all the Texas Democrats out there love this idea of discrimination and racism, that she comes here to do some fundraising. And she's going to ignore, Brandon, she's going to ignore her main job that she was put in charge of by the Biden administration, which is border czar, as she comes to Texas. This one has even me scratching my head.
Well, you know, I think it's not surprising if you look at her past actions. This isn't the first time she's gotten close to the border, gone to a border state, but failed to actually go down there or talk about it or go visit the border. You know, all of this coming from, right, the appointed border czar. That's what Kamala is supposed to be. And yet, on the other side, I think that, you know, I think she's doing exactly the role that she was put in, because it's become very, very clear, even more clear than it was at the beginning, over the last nearly 2 years now of the Biden regime, that, you know, this open border policy we have now, where literally millions of illegal aliens are flooding across the southern border now, just up magnitudes of times more than they were just a few years ago, that this is their plan. And so, you know, it's not surprising that she's going to come to Texas and skip the border. I was actually talking to my boss and colleague, Michael Quinn Sullivan, who, of course, you know, and, you know, he made the point that, well, she's not actually coming to Texas. She's coming to Austin. So,
well, that is very
true. There is that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, there is that. And increasingly, nobody considers Austin part of Texas. You know, I would be remiss, since we're talking about Austin, not mentioning the mayor of Austin, Steve Adler, who is a left-wing extremist, who is rather infamous for example, telling everybody to stay home during the China virus as he takes jaunts to Mexico with his family. Isn't that wonderful? He was caught, Brandon, falling asleep at the most inopportune time. He fell asleep at the funeral for a fallen officer. The wife of the fallen officer said when she learned that the mayor of Austin fell asleep, she said at her husband's service, she said she was literally crushed to learn that. But isn't that what the left wing in this state actually does? Crushes people's spirits and their dreams?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good illustration. You know, and remember, this is Austin, where Mayor Adler, especially 2 years ago during the whole defund the police movement, was entertaining those people. Austin was slashing its police budget. You know, Mayor Adler now is term limited. He's about to be out of office. But, you know, I would suggest, if he doesn't want to be at events like this funeral, you know, maybe just not go, right?
Yeah. I know. I think that would have been the better part of valor. I mean, even if you do have loathing and disgust, as most Democrats do, for law enforcement, you know, do you have to rub the salt in the wound of the people who have lost their loved one? I mean, just really, how cruel does it get with these people? Folks, that's going to do it for this podcast. We have been talking with Brandon Waltons. He's author. He is the managing editor for Texas Scorecard. I was going to say, yes, you're authoring everything in the Texas Scorecard. That would be a very busy job.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of work.
Yeah, a lot of work. He is the managing editor for Texas Scorecard. Sir, always appreciate the visit.
Absolutely. You as well, Chris.
And that's going to do it for this edition of the Salcedo Storm podcast, my friends. Visit two websites for me, if you will. TexasScorecard.com. TexasScorecard.com. You just heard all those juicy stories that I'm sure some of you didn't know was going on. A couple of them I didn't know was going on. So you can see how much you can learn just by going to TexasScorecard.com. If it impacts Texas, it's going to impact the United States. Also head to ChrisSalcedo.com. That's where you can drop me an email, drop me a voicemail, book me for a speech, or track down the Chris Salcedo shows on AM 700 KSEB, the voice of Texas in the morning. There's an app for that, so you can hear it all over the country. Or you can catch me in the afternoon on Newsmax TV, 4 o'clock Eastern until 5, Monday through Friday. Until we visit again, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government, but rather how much power is reserved for you and me. In short, we the people. See ya.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
better.
At Frontier, we know you've had enough of cable internet. If you're tired of steep price hikes, upload speeds slower than download speeds, and worrying about Wi-Fi, then uncable yourself and switch to Frontier Fiber. With unrandom pricing, equal uploads and downloads, and our whole home Wi-Fi guarantee. Introducing internet that works the way it should. Frontier Gig Fiber. Just $69.99 a month with autopay and our 3-year price guarantee. Plus, you can get a $200 Visa reward card on us. See Frontier.com/fast1 for complete offer, terms, eligibility, and performance details. Subject to availability.